KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly clear sky, 20 degrees in Atlantic. Looking forward to be partly cloudy here today with a high of 52. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you this hour by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In the news, colleagues of Congressman Leonard Boswell held a tribute to him Thursday on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives.
I hadn't planned on this all coming to this kind of a closure, but it's caused me to reflect back over life, and I feel very blessed.
Boswell's 16-year tenure in the U.S. House is coming to an end as he lost his bid for re-election in November.
I have a regret. I'm sorry my mother couldn't have heard this discussion today.
Boswell, a Democrat, will celebrate his 79th birthday on January 10th. He was drafted at the age of 22 and served in the Army for 20 years. Congressman Bruce Braley of Waterloo said Boswell is too modest to talk about the two distinguished flying crosses he was awarded for flying helicopter rescue missions in Vietnam.
Leonard has always been a strong advocate for military families. He has a lot of proud achievements in this body, but Leonard, to me, your proudest moment was when the Joshua Omvig Suicide Prevention Act was passed in the House, passed into the Senate, and signed into law by the President.
Congressman Steve King of Kyron agreed that Boswell had a noble and brave career in the military.
Everybody that he served with didn't come back, but more people came back because of Leonard Boswell, and I know that. I heard some of those stories because I pulled a few of them out, but it's not something that he's brought out front, not something that he's worn on his sleeve. It's something within the character of the man that sits here with us today.
Each member of the Iowa delegation in the House paid tribute to Boswell. Other congressmen from other states offered praise to Boswell as well during the 40-minute tribute. Congressman Tom Latham of Clive, the Republican who beat Boswell in November, organized Thursday's tribute.
His work on behalf of his constituents has exemplified what Iowans expect their representatives in Congress, someone who is approachable, thoughtful, and hardworking.
And KJAN News, time is 8:02.
Ho, ho, ho! Christmas is all about glimmering lights and the sounds of Christmas. Santa's belly laugh, sleigh bells ringing, Christmas colors singing, and even closer to home, the sounds of laughter for your children and your grandchildren.
This is audiologist Doug Leonard of ASI. As you gather around the piano or simply sit and visit with family and friends, make it an enjoyable time instead of a frustrating time. If you or a loved one is having difficulty hearing the people around you and the sounds of the season, we can help. We will schedule your hearing evaluation and answer your questions regarding your hearing and how it can be improved.
Christmas is supposed to be a joyous time, so enjoy all of the signs and the sounds of season. So call ASI to make your Christmas a ho, 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 instead of a huh. ASI is offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
A contest is underway to select a photo for the cover of next year's Iowa Travel Guide. The annual publication from the Iowa Tourism Office is distributed to thousands of people around the state, country, and the world. Iowa Tourism Office spokesperson Jessica O'Reilly said last year Iowans were presented with three possible cover photos and voted on their favorite. The 2012 cover ended up featuring the High Trestle Trail near Madrid.
This year we're taking it a step further and we're allowing people to submit their photos for possible inclusion on the travel guide. We know as people travel Iowa, they take great family photos or scenic landscapes, and we'd love to see those.
The contest is open to both amateur and professional photographers. O'Reilly suggests submission should capture the spirit of Iowa.
I certainly would not want to limit anybody. We love scenic landscapes. We love crowded atmospheres, interesting museums, you know, anything people see as they cross Iowa.
Contest rules and submission forms are posted on the Travel Iowa Facebook page. The deadline for submissions is next Friday, December 21st.
We will be putting up the covers for vote in January. That takes place January 23rd through February 1st.
The cover design with the most votes will be declared the winner on February 4th. Photos that don't match the cover could be used inside the travel guide or on the Iowa Tourism's website or Facebook page. The Audubon Public Library has announced that they're now able to accept applications for passports on behalf of the U.S. Department of State. Because of new government regulations, the Audubon County Recorder's Office was unable to continue to provide the service. If you're planning on international travel, you can visit the Audubon Public Library Monday through Friday from 2 until 5 p.m. to apply for a passport. Library Director Gail Richardson said the Audubon Public Library is pleased to offer the service to the public and keep the passport application acceptance program available in Audubon County. To view application forms, information, and documents required, and other information regarding passports or international travel, you can go to www.travel.state.gov. Iowa officials are celebrating the 25th anniversary of the state historical building. Governor Terry Branstad and others will attend a gala tonight aimed at raising funds for the in-house State Historical Museum. It will feature a display of objects from the museum's permanent collection to replace the past 25 years, rather than represent the past 25 years. More than 500 people are expected to attend. Officials are also currently trying to raise funds to restore the building. The State Department of Cultural Affairs presented a proposal to Branstad Thursday, projecting costs of up to $101 million. The State Historical Building opened in 1987. It houses several divisions of the Cultural Affairs Agency, State Historical Museum, and other offices. Environmentalists say it doesn't go far enough, but the Iowa Soybean Association is praising Governor Terry Branstad's strategy to keep harmful nutrients from reaching Iowa waterways in the Gulf of Mexico. Association leaders who met in Ankeny this week reaffirmed their support for the plan, which was released last month. ISA President Mark Jackson said the plan is based on science, recognizes the diversity of the state's landscape, and is much more effective than a costly one-size-fits-all effort to improve water quality. The plan calls on wastewater treatment plants to make upgrades to reduce their discharges into waterways, but it asks farmers to take voluntary steps to reduce the runoff caused by fertilizers and manure on farm fields. Critics say they doubt a voluntary approach will have much impact. Iowa Senator Tom Harkin said this week's report on rising Iowa farmland values is worrisome. The annual study from from Iowa State University found the average selling price for an acre of farmland was nearly $8,300, and that's an increase of 24% from a year ago.
I am concerned about a possible land bubble forming out there on this.
The authors of the study said that record corn and soybean prices are part of the reason for the latest sizable increases. Harkin acknowledges it appears that Iowa farmers will be in good shape in terms of future demand for feed grains and for grain and stover used in ethanol production. Still, he fears changes in the weather and other factors could quickly prompt another farm crisis like the nation saw in the 1980s.
What I really worry about is that debt and leverage don't get overextended. We've seen that before, haven't we? I remember the 70s when all these grain prices went up, plant fence row to fence row and all that kind of stuff, and a bubble happened and a lot of people got wiped out because they were just way over leveraged, too much debt when the 80s hit.
The ISU report found that farmland prices were widely varied across the state. For example, prices in northwest Iowa were up almost 34%, while prices in southeast Iowa were up only 9%.
A lot of times, a lot of this is driven by land values near urban areas, for example, that seem to go up extraordinarily high. They can be a driver. And I'd like to see how much of this land that is changing hands is actually being financed with debt.
The 24% increase found in the ISU report marks the third straight year the state's farmland values increased by at least 15%. And U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack is urging the U.S. House and Senate Ag Committees to get a farm bill ready. Once created, Vilsack says that legislation could be attached to any agreement to avoid the fall off the fiscal cliff of automatic tax hikes and budget cuts, which loom on January 1st.
That would provide a vehicle for the passage of a food, farm, and jobs bill. That in order for that to happen, they could not be in a situation where they would ask folks to wait while they crafted and drafted whatever compromises they could reach, that they needed to be doing that work now, so that when and if there is a resolution of the fiscal cliff, the farm legislation could be attached to it without delay.
Vilsack, a former Iowa governor, says it will take a lot of work to get a new farm bill ready for the upcoming growing season.
We will do everything we can to move heaven and earth. Once Congress does its job, we will do our job in a timely way. You know, it obviously depends on at what point in time they ultimately get their work done.
The automatic budget cuts that will come with the new year will impact practically every single USDA program, what Vilsack says would be a disaster.
That gives me no capacity to manage. It's 8.5% or 8.7%, whatever it is, across the board, virtually every line item, can't transfer. You know, it's just the only way you're going to deal with it is by reductions in force, and that is extraordinarily cumbersome.
And without action by Congress, a series of $500 billion in tax increases and $200 billion in budget cuts will automatically take effect on or about the first day of January, a leap some analysts fear could prompt another recession. Taking a look at world headlines of this hour, President Barack Obama today meets with U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice, one day after she withdrew her name from consideration as Secretary of State. Rice made the decision after weeks of criticism from some Republicans about her initial explanation of the deadly attack on the U.S. consulate in Libya. Democratic Senator John Kerry is now said to be on the top of Obama's short list of people to replace Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton. Some Republicans are saying it's time to end the debate on tax rates. There were a few signs of progress after House Speaker John Boehner met last night with President Obama to continue their discussions on averting the so-called fiscal cliff, which again is due to take effect in January. Republicans such as Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina say it's time for Boehner to bend on extending tax cuts for the middle class and address upper-income earners later when lawmakers start discussing tax reform. A steep fall in gas costs has been keeping inflation in check. The Labor Department says the seasonally adjusted consumer price index dropped 0.3% last month after a 0.1% increase the previous month. Gas prices fell 7.4%, the steepest drop in nearly 4 years, and that offset a 0.2% rise in food prices. And a large quake has struck in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of California and Mexico. The U.S. Geological Survey says the tremor, which happened just after 2:30 this morning local time, had a preliminary magnitude of 6.4. There was no tsunami warning issued. News time is 8:11.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
What?
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. Even though there are many ways to politely tell someone you didn't hear them, not being able to understand what people are saying to you is frustrating for everyone. Because hearing loss happens gradually, many times you and those around you develop coping behaviors to keep the communication flowing. Speaking louder, lip reading, and eventually the frequent request to repeat. But because those behaviors don't address the real source of frustration, your hearing loss, it can become a hearing problem for everyone involved. The best way to avoid the frustration is to recognize the real culprit and to take action. A hearing evaluation is the first step. Even if what you're experiencing is a very mild hearing loss and hearing aids are not needed, knowing what's going on allows you to stay on top of your hearing loss. No one wants a conversation that revolves around,
excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In the funeral announcements this morning, Robert Bob Arbaugh, age 94 of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Bob Arbaugh will be today at 10 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Marilyn Busey, age 57, a lifelong Cass County resident, died December 7th at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Marilyn Busey will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the First Evangelical Lutheran Church in Wyota. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic has the arrangements. Stephen Hess, age 68, of Earlham, died Tuesday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Stephen Hess will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the First Presbyterian Church in Earlham. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham has arrangements. Marilyn Nielsen, age 78, of Avoca, died Wednesday in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Marilyn Nielsen will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Fred Nielsen, age 80, of Menlo, died Monday in Panora. Funeral services for Fred Nielsen will be held Saturday at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Dexter. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Louis Lou Henry Hall, age 69, of Defiance, died Wednesday in Erling. Funeral services for Lou Hall will be Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Anna Brown, age 99, of Earlham, died Wednesday at the Winterset Care Center South. Funeral services for Anna Brown will be held Monday at 10:30 at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham. Margaret Ann McGill, age 84, of Kansas, died Wednesday in Little River, Kansas. Graveside services for Margaret McGill will be held Monday at 11:30 at the Layton Township Cemetery in Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. And Roberta Jones, age 94, of Winterset and formerly of Council Bluffs, died Thursday. Funeral services for Roberta Jones are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.